God, that's the song of my people.
Yeah, and your animals, sir.
Yes.
The Mighty Ones.
The Mighty Ones. If you don't know what that's from, shame on you and your family.
Did you grow up as a kid ever?
Mighty Ducks.
That was the one, though. That was Mighty Ducks 2. And I think that one was the one that legitimized that franchise. Because the first one was kind of like this... It came out when when The Sandlot came out, and it was buried by The Sandlot, I think, a little bit, because everybody was really excited about The Sandlot. And then the second one came out, and I think that was where I was like, holy shit, the ducks are pretty mighty.
Well, let's be honest. The first Mighty Ducks movie is basically a Bad News Bears ripoff. It's completely, like... plot point for plot point, Bad News Bears.
He picks him up at the baseball field, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's court ordered.
That's right.
Because he has a drinking problem.
Oh, Gordon.
Emilio Estevez.
And I think the second one was just a repeat of the first one.
No.
They went to the Olympics.
And he got an ego, and they were winning, and everybody wanted to be a duck.
And Banks was on their side, too, I remember.
Banks was a full-pledged duck by the end of D1. Okay?
That's right, yeah, because the coach was a dick.
But, yeah, then you... But, oh, man. Connie Monroe, her and the Pink Ranger up there in the 90s crushes for me.
A.B. Joe Johnson and Connie Monroe?
And who would have guessed that there's only, like, four people still working from Mighty Ducks 2?
Keenan.
Fulton.
Fulton.
Joshua Jackson.
Goldberg's been in some stuff, I think.
Yeah, but he also lost like 200 pounds and looks scary and old now.
Oh, he was the Jonah Hill.
But even Jonah Hill, he just like, his hair went gray and he just looks creepy.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's not even like weight would have helped him. He just grew up to be creepy.
I love how every villain in every Mighty Ducks movie had the slick back
hair. It was always like... the slick back hockey mullet.
That's what it was, yeah.
Come on, man. And then, Connie Monroe is actually still acting, because she'll be in Wet Hot American Summer, the Netflix series, because she was in the movie. Little known fact.
She's pretty hot, too, right now.
Yeah, hot for an older woman. Again, her and Amy Jo Johnson.
Good job, Connie. Way to get away from that creeper brother that you had.
And I just real quick, RIP Jan.
Because
he actually did pass away.
Oh, no.
In 2009, which makes me... even sadder that I'm now just realizing 6 years later that he passed away.
Yeah.
Pour some out on the ice for him. But speaking of the Mighty Ducks, my actual hockey team, the Ducks, are shortening my lifespan.
They're coming in.
Well, because they had a chance to close out the Blackhawks last night, did not, and now we're going to a Game 7 this upcoming weekend.
What's more exciting about a Game 7? I'll tell you what's more exciting about a Game 7. Pop Not Soda's 15th episode!
15 Woo! Already.
Yep, 15 already. We nailed them down. We've got a new website.
We do.
Podbean. Actually, we're on Podbean. It's popnotsoda.podbean.com.
Which you should homepage right now.
Because it is a great site. We have an Iron Man logo at the front. Actually, it's a Tony Stark thing. We can't claim Iron Man. We'll get sued by Disney for that.
Probably,
one.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a Tony Stark
Robert
background.
Robert Downey Jr. It's a Robert Downey Jr. background.
He's not a dick.
No.
He wouldn't call it. He's not listening to this.
At all. He would probably do some drugs before listening to this. That's how far off his radar we are.
On that note, though, we are officially official now. And that's a pretty big thing for podcasts, because I think... a lot of podcasts kind of stay under the water a little bit, never crack the seam.
Like we've done for 14 episodes.
Yeah, we've officially cracked the seam now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Pop Not Soda, the official podcast.
At popnotsoda.podbean.com.
And we've got a Twitter account too, the official.
As always.
Yeah, the official one. It is linked to the Podbean website.
And that's at pop_notsoda.
Yep. So Dan... you have a good weekend, buddy? What'd you do?
I did. I was actually in Houston for a buddy's wedding. Long, long time friend. Wedding out in Houston to his lovely fiance, now wife. And debauchery shenanigans ensued.
Open bar?
All night.
Good job.
My best friend who I went with, and shared a room with. He was asleep by 10:30, and the wedding, I kid you not, the reception didn't end until 11:30. That's how hard he hit the open bar. I had to tuck him in the bed by midnight once we got back to the hotel. He missed the after party, the after party, and the hotel lobby because we legitimately R. Kelly'd that weekend.
He had his own bathroom party about 6 in the morning, right?
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great time in Houston. Speaking of Houston,
something was going on in Houston, too.
Yeah, the Rockets were getting their asses kicked by the Warriors.
Oh, that's right. And I think anybody that actually doesn't live in Houston hates the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. Nobody likes James Harden or Dwight Howard.
No, get back to Oklahoma, too, man. Please.
Okay, I get it. James Harden. No, Oklahoma City doesn't even want him anymore.
They don't, actually. That dirty-ass beard.
I had never seen so many Rocket fans in my life than I did on Friday night after they got blown up by 30, or Saturday night, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You would go into a bar, and there'd be tables of Rocket fans with their head in their hands, just wondering why their team sucks so much.
What did happen that game? Did they just...
Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry, huh?
Steph Curry happened.
Steph Curry, who has been doing some pretty great interviews lately, and he's got kind of a co-host, I think, who's taking the spotlight.
Yeah, our podcast may be in trouble if Steph Curry and Riley Curry have their own podcast.
Riley Curry, you are welcome on this whenever you want, but please come with your dad or we will get in trouble.
You gotta stop making offers to two-year-olds on this show. Yeah, dude, the press conferences, I've enjoyed them. We watched some of them before we went on air here, and they seem just super genuine and super enjoyable. And, I mean, it's a dad with his kid. I just can't believe that people are getting mad about it.
Wait, people are getting mad about it?
Oh, yeah, man. Some fans think that he should not bring his kid out to the podium because it's part of his job. And one of the interviews last night, right before they started, some reporter got really bitchy and was like, oh, so we're going to do this again. Before she asked her question.
You know, if I was Stephen Curry, I would have just been like, I would have looked at her and I'd been like, are we going to do this again? You're going to come up and ask me the same questions you asked me last night?
Yeah, like, basically, I would have been like, no, next question. Especially then she got her little Drake lyric out on the mic, which was hilarious, singing Bless, that he actually saw and retweeted, which as a two-year-old, she has more retweets than we do. That should say something. But
good for you, Riley.
I just can't believe people are outraged. It's kind of ridiculous to be upset at a two-year-old.
Are they upset at the two-year-old, or are they upset about a guy bringing a two-year-old into his profession? Because, I mean, I'll admit it. When people come to work with their babies, keep them in the cafeteria or keep them outside. I don't want to see them. I don't have babies. I don't know what it's like to have babies. But I don't want them on my floor, let alone shoved in my face while I'm at my cubicle trying to do some work. And that tends to happen a lot where I guess that's not really the same with this because he's choosing to... Well, I don't know. He's.
I mean, I see your point. I see your point. But I mean, the dude basically plays out of his mind. MVP of the league, almost single-handedly takes down and destroys the Rockets all series. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. I'm sorry. But if he wants to bring his little two-year-old up, he can. And how this was explained to me is during the season, those interviews happen in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
So there's no family allowed in the locker room. But during the playoffs, they bring the interviews out to a booth. They have the press conference. And because of that, when they leave, it's family time whenever the players leave the locker room. So the families are all waiting. She's used to when her dad's out there being with her dad after the game.
Yeah.
And so I think the two-year-old is more important than hearing Steph Curry talk about how they need good ball movement and they need to shoot the ball well and nobody's going to stop LeBron. Because we can hear that shit all the time. The two-year-old is way more entertaining. And this is the only time I've cared about NBA post press conferences
it has
in
been,
the past 5 years.
It has been getting attention. I mean, it has been getting attention with that. Rather than just somebody being a real dickhead and that you watching it 2 days later yes. Going like, oh my god, I had to watch that guy because he was a real dickhead to everybody.
Speaking of dickheads, FIFA. Oh, man, did FIFA get their shit rot this week.
They are getting railed right now.
Mm-mm. And they deserve it, those corrupt bastards.
So explain what happened, Dan.
So FIFA and some of their executives met in Switzerland for a meeting. And, you know, they did not know that they were going to be arrested by Swiss officials. And on the process of being extradited to the U.S. to face racketeering and corruption charges.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Pretty gnarly charges. Now, what do these stem from?
Basically, this stems from unlawful corporate procedures, including accepting bribes, unfair consideration of sites for World Cup hosting, basically all up the chain, unlawful influence of votes for host cities.
Oh, you mean having FIFA in Satan's asshole?
Qatar.
Is it really that's fair?
Like, yeah, so it's not fair to the workers who keep getting killed over there. Dude, have you seen the death toll numbers from the Qatar World Cup construction?
You know, I unfortunately unbookmarked that page last week. I had it unbookmarked
because it's depressing. It's 100 times more than any other world competition site.
Wow.
And that's only in 2015, and the games don't happen until 2022. So there's going to be construction like that for the next 6 to 7 years.
Do you think it'll actually... No, I think this is the first time I've actually thought about this, but do you think it'll actually go down there? Because there's been a lot of stuff that's happened where I don't think I've ever seen a site be so scrutinized for such a blatant exploitation of the breaking the rules. And you're seeing so many other countries that have never, I mean, that are all uniting as a front, kind of saying, this is bullshit. This shouldn't happen.
Yeah, Canada and England had our back, which they usually do.
And we're usually a team with that. But you're seeing a lot of united fronts that are kind of saying, listen, we're finally sick of it.
Well, I think part of it comes to where, one, to host in Qatar, they're going to move the World Cup to, like, December, which kind of fucks with Premier League. So you know that England's all upset. And it's still going to be, like, almost 100 degrees even in December. Like, the conditions just aren't what you want to go enjoy a soccer tournament. And let's not even get into the laws and statutes they have against citizens of what they can and can't do with their personal lives, which makes it a hellhole for anyone trying to travel to enjoy the World Cup. But I was really happy that these charges were brought against.
Now, is the president involved? Is he being charged?
President of FIFA?
Of FIFA?
Personally, I don't think he's actually been...
criminally charged?
Criminally charged, but he's been asked to resign by the UEFA president, and he denied that resignation. But apparently there are rumors and whispers that FIFA is actually going to be done in by their own internal investigation that they ran just so they could cover shit up.
Oh.
That's the key to all these charges that are going to be brought against
them. Kind of like the IRS a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah.
And so it's kind of awesome. I mean, really, I think my whole theory is that in 2014, the U.S. was like, hey, let's be good at soccer. And then we didn't win the World Cup, so we're like, fuck you guys, you're going to jail.
I think a funny side note, too, is... Have you ever seen that president?
Oh, yeah, he looks like Wario.
He is a big asshole. Mm-hmm. I mean, any public speech I've ever seen him give off, he is so pompous and pretentious. Like, I think the last time he got elected, when they had like the whole election thing going on, he was one of the guys where you had everybody else going, okay, so, you know, this is what I would do for FIFA. This is why it would benefit, you know, in the next 20 years, this would be a very, very beneficial strategy to do. Then you had this guy come up and he just goes, my record speaks for itself. That's why you should elect me.
I mean, he honestly was in an E60 documentary like 3 weeks ago that premiered that he stated that he wasn't going to come to the U.S. for fear of being arrested. Like, and when he gave his...
He's the Roman Polanski of sports.
When he gave his comments I think it was yesterday, about how this is a sad time for football and the corruption needs to be ousted. Everyone's just like, it's you, motherfucker. You're the one that's corrupt and needs to be ousted. You need to go. And he just doesn't get it.
It's like the Patriots screaming, we need to clean up the game right now.
Tom Brady is screaming that balls need to be inflated.
We need to clean this game up, please.
It's, oh God. And that's not the only bullshit FIFA story going around. Today, actually, EA announced that the women national team is going to be available to play as in FIFA 16. Which is awesome, because the women's national soccer team, especially for the U.S., is probably just as good, if not better, than the men's. And it's one of the few women's teams to be super popular in the U.S.
They're just as entertaining to watch as the guys.
Oh God, Alex Morgan, marry me. Leave your fiancé. Sorry. But yeah, and so of course, you know what happened. You had some gamers.
Troll gamers. I don't think... I wouldn't necessarily say all gamers. I identify myself as a gamer. I don't have time to get pissed off about really, really supporting somebody who deserves to be in a video game. You know? I just don't.
Well, I want to say, this would be the only U.S. soccer team that's actually won a World Cup. So I feel like they deserve to be in...
Maybe replace the guys?
In FIFA. But yeah, you have these assholes getting upset over the women's inclusion into FIFA 16. Because I think they believe that soccer is a male-only sport.
So they're complaining that they're now going to have to go through more team choices to pick their team? I'm trying to understand where the underlying complaint roots from. Like, or are you just a really misogynistic asshole? Which I think that is what it is, because I can't make sense of this.
Oh yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. I don't get how it's not like they're taking away the men's team. Even like, it's not like the men's team got relegated to like soccer 2K. It's not like that happened.
Or they just scrapped it all and they're like, all right, we're doing FIFA Women's Cup 2016 this year.
Which would probably still be a really good game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But my plan is just to play as the women's team from here on out, solidarity. And also so I can see Alex Morgan every time I play FIFA. But yeah, man, the soccer community has been a little rot this past week. In some good ways, because the charges are good, and in some bad ways is soccer fans are still racist, misogynistic assholes. Not all soccer fans. Some soccer/troll gamer fans.
I think what it is you're pulling back the curtain and you're realizing what's actually really happening behind the scenes. And that's what's scaring people. And what's actually exciting about it, because I don't think I wouldn't necessarily call myself a soccer fan, but the potential change that this is going to influence in the future, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and I mean, the Women's World Cup is going to start this coming up very soon. It's almost June. And what happens if the U.S. women's team does go out and win the World Cup? How many people are going to be like, haha, told you so, that's why they're in the game? And
if they do that, what they should do is they should pull the Women's Cup from the game and then release it as DLC for $5.
You know, they do that, but also put them on the cover.
That's a chest.
They're on the cover, but you can't play as them unless you buy them.
The Goro of FIFA.
Yeah. And, you know, and we never know. Maybe Qatar doesn't happen. I mean, that's a very long shot, very long possibility away. But I'm pretty sure there's a country who could construct some stadiums pretty quickly, maybe in like 2 years, to host a World Cup event in a democratic, very climate-friendly, not Sane's asshole type
potentially
deal.
War-torn?
Not potentially war. I mean, hopefully not. It is 2022, so hopefully by that time, Pop Not Soda is on episode 1,115.
Oh, we'll be on like... No, I don't know. We'll be on E or something at that point.
It depends how much
point.
We drink between now and 2022.
Yeah, yeah. I might be in rehab.
Shit. Good thing we got Brian.
We don't, which actually we got to mention because...
I was going to wonder how long it would take you to realize Brian wasn't here.
So we forgot to mention that at the beginning of the episode. If you haven't heard, that chimey co-host that we have, Brian, is actually... He's not here this week. He's actually in Costa Rica, dancing his feet off, doing all sorts of goofball shit. And we're unfortunately stuck here talking to a steel ball.
He means the microphone, people.
Yeah.
He means the microphone. Yeah, you know, so this, we have a little less class without our resident critic this week.
But a little less class or a little more?
You know what? It also depends on how much he drinks.
See, that's, yeah.
But don't worry, because we're still going to talk some movies today.
That we are.
And I don't know if you all have seen this trailer, but I know Brett and I have. And I don't honestly know how I feel about it.
I know how I feel about it, Dan. How about you go first?
I feel like...
We're talking about, first off...
I would shoot some shots in the air while I'm on my bat, because that's how conflicted I am.
It's a difficult movie. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is Point Break.
Point Break.
Point Break. I was about to say Point Blank. Gross Point Break. That's what they should do. They should do Gross Point Break with John Cusack.
Oh.
On that note, though. Anyway, what we're talking about is Point Break. They're doing a remake, reboot, remake. Anyway, it's based off of Catherine Bigelow's Point Break, which is an incredible movie.
God, almost, it's got to be almost 30 years ago now, right?
92, I think. 92 or 94, so it's passing its 20-year mark.
I thought it was in the 80s, but 90s, okay.
Yeah, so it's passing its 20-year mark. If you guys don't remember it, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, Lori Petty, they got a surfer gang.
Nick Nolte? Isn't it Nolte? No, it's the other one. It's,
Yeah, what is Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Utah, two. So, that movie...
He never got those sandwiches.
He never did, actually. I think he got shot in the back before he got those meatball sandwiches, which is really sad, actually. Now that we're thinking about that, very depressing movie. But anyway, Point Break came out, the trailer for this week. Dan, what would you think your impressions were of it?
Well, when I heard that this remake was being made, was very open to it. Because I love the original. It's probably top 25 all-time favorite movies for me. Like,
what do you love about the original?
It's the pace, how it's shot, the whole tone of the movie. But it never feels like a normal crime heist movie where it's... And I think it was probably one of the first movies, I think other than Heat for me, where I was kind of rooting for the bad guys. Where it was a big time, like, I wanted Patrick Swayze, I wanted Bodie to be successful, and I wanted kind of Keanu to go bad. And I think they gave that to me, because in Point Break, you never really get that. You get, like, the very, very close middle of the line, and I think that's why I love Fast and Furious so much, because the first one gives you that same type of Point Break feel. Again, if we're talking about Mighty Duck movies, how Mighty Duck 1 is a ripoff of Bad News Bears... Fast and Furious is a ripoff of Point Break, people. If you don't know this and you love Fast and Furious and you've never seen Point Break, shame on you. But yeah, it was rooting for the bad guys. It was the cool bad guys, too. It was them surfing. And the surfing shots were some of my favorite because of just how it changed the tone where you didn't think you were watching this crime heist movie anymore. You're watching these guys surf and be good friends and family and have this bond. And then they did some crazy shit on the side. Yeah. And plus, the chase sequence from those sandwiches is one of the best chase sequences I can remember in an action movie like that.
Oh, yeah. The on foot and in the car chase sequences. Those were some of the best chase sequences I've ever seen. Also think that Anthony Kiedis from the original was fantastic. We might have a problem, man. He was fantastic in it. There was a lot of things that made that movie just incredible back in the day.
And it's just kind of like that shitstorm where you may not have the best pieces, but they work together and they make sense.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it in relation of history, Patrick Swayze is way above Keanu Reeves in the early 90s. Like, and Keanu Reeves is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's where Keanu Reeves is at. Patrick Swayze made Dirty Dancing. He made... did Ghost come out yet? Yeah, Ghost came out. He's a star. And I think that is what we were talking about, that this remake is lacking.
This remake is lacking star power. I remember a couple years ago they were talking about Gerard Butler getting talked about for Bodie, the role of Bodie.
Would have been cool.
I actually think... I think there's... That's okay. So that's what bothered me about this. I'll just come clean right now. Watching this trailer, what really bothered me about it is there is no star power behind it. Utah is not towing the line. He's clearly an agent the entire time. And there's just a lot of things where I was like, this isn't the Point Break story that I really liked back in the day. And I think that's what really concerns me about this movie coming out.
I feel you. I think I definitely get that. And I think if we really talk about it, Paul Walker and Keanu Reeves, very similar actors. And, I mean, the guy that they got casted for Utah this time kind of actually sounds like Keanu and looks like Keanu.
Do you know what he's been in before?
Nothing. He's like a fresh face.
Okay, okay.
Which, I'm not opposed to.
Okay.
Because if you want to try and get somebody good, somebody new, like, that's cool with me. I'm just glad it's not like Jai Courtney, because he was rumored for a little bit, and I would have been upset. But, yeah, I think that's also one thing that's missing, is that star power, because I think that's also what made it cool, is Patrick Swayze was so cool as Bodhi. He was so cool as Bodhi that I don't know who's playing Bodhi. So, like, I haven't, at this time with the trailer, bought into him being super cool, wanting to be like Bodhi, wanting Utah to be in with Bodhi. I didn't get that feeling from the trailer.
And my fear, and I'm, that's what I think is going to happen with this movie, is my fear is that they're not making characters that you're going to like. What they're doing in this trailer is they're making action sequences that you like. So you're going to go, oh my gosh, those four guys going down that mountain was so sick, and they high-fived at the bottom of the mountain. Kind of like these guys. They're kind of sick. I don't know shit about them, though. And I think that that's going to be the really, really bad anchor that this movie's going to have. You aren't going to make... people are not going to identify with the bad characters, which made the original such a gem.
So I got a question for you. Who would you cast? Dream casting for Bodhi.
Well, I mean, okay. So, dream casting for Bodhi.
One choice.
Oh, okay. One choice. Honestly, originally, my choice would be Heath Ledger. Unfortunately,
That's a good choice.
I think a middle, like a 35-year-old Heath Ledger right now, I think that would be a great Bodhi.
I mean, have you seen Lords of Dogtown?
Yes, that's kind of where it rooted from.
Yeah, because he's got that kind of like surferish, kind of like, he's the popular dude kind of vibe. I get you.
He can work a crowd. Everybody likes him. It will be absolutely tragic if we lose him in this movie or anything like that.
I think if you had Heath Ledger, the whole other cast can be no names.
Because
you've got Heath Ledger. I feel you.
I think the other person, and this is a shot in the dark, but I think if we're dealing with real actors these days and real actors that are landing movies, I don't know how realistic it would have been to get him, but I think Chris Pratt would have actually been a good Bodhi. I think because he can play... We've all seen him in this goofball role. We've all seen him, you know, be this comedy actor. When you really think about Bodhi, he was just a leader. And he wasn't really kind of the dick behind the operation. He wasn't doing anything really bad. And I think somebody like Chris Pratt would be this person that you could immediately go... I want this team to win. And then maybe halfway through the movie, they pull the mask off. And then you're like, oh, it's Chris Pratt. I still like you, but I want to root for you. You know, this is what's difficult about it. There aren't even president masks in this trailer.
I hope they don't do the president mask. I hope they don't do it.
Why?
Because that's original Point Break. Make a funny reference where like they're looking for like camouflage, or like they're looking for something to cover up, and someone pulls out a president mask. And they're like, no, that's not ever going to work.
Okay.
Like, that would be a cool nod. But I just hope they, like, leave the iconic things and try and step on their own.
The crew was the ex-presidents, though. And that was so good about
it. So, I'm really wondering what they're going to call this crew, because it's kind of hard to call them the ex-presidents.
The ex-streamers.
Oh, I hope not. And there's nowhere. They're just got streamers tied to their boots and everything.
Squirrel suits, snowboards, everything.
I mean... if you guys go back and watch the trailer, like Brett said, you're going to see a lot of cool action sequences. I did see like one shootout scene that kind of reminded me of The Town almost, like shot for shot. Like very narrow street, machine gun, open firing on police cars. So if it's stylistically shot cool, like it has hope. And then you've just got to hope for like a decent character development, because this movie is built on action and character development. That's all you need. Yep. You don't really need a plot.
That ending doesn't mean shit if you don't like those characters. Half that movie is gone if you don't identify or like any of those characters.
And you know why? When you say this, my dream casting, even though I think he may be just a bit old.
Yeah, about that, Dan. Who was yours?
Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt with the long hair, the twit talking. Like, there's never been a role where I've watched that I haven't been like, damn, Brad Pitt is the coolest man in the room right now.
Have you seen True Romance?
I have seen
True Romance. Okay, he could be a true... That could be Brad Pitt. Yeah. I mean, the Bodhi right there. That's the Brad Pitt Bodhi is Clyde on the couch.
Definitely. Like, it's... I think if this movie would have came out 5 years ago, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
He even had the long hair for it.
World War Z, I mean, that could be a Bodhi when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, that... I mean, and he's rusty in the Ocean's trilogy. So he's fast-talking, he's very likable, and he's very perspective as being a leader. And he doesn't have to be a dick.
Yeah.
And so Brad Pitt would have been my dream casting.
I like they got a pretty hot girl too for the
and she's the Tyler role. She's probably like one of the most known actors in the cast too, because she's from I Am Number 4, Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Okay.
She's had some movies behind her, so her and one of our favorite actors in all of our B movies. In such movies as Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh.
Ransom.
Oh.
And,
the DL himself.
That's all I can remember.
Delroy Lindo is playing the role
of, like, lieutenant or captain?
That he was born for, that he plays in every movie.
Which is semi-angry law enforcement officer.
Listen, Rook, you can't do that shit here. You can't be surfing waves with people, Rook. You can't be getting meatball sandwiches on the corner, Rook, when banks are getting robbed.
Oh, you know what? Now I would have loved if Timothy Oliphant was just fucking Giant Utah, and it was just them. They graduated from Gone in 60 Seconds. They moved on to the FBI now, and they're the exact same characters. And they're in a Point Break situation. That would have been awesome.
And Nicolas Cage is one of, like, the weird surfer gang that he just gets... He's the guy...
No, Nicolas Cage is Bodhi. There it is.
Oh, shit, man.
Bald Nicolas Cage as Bodhi with the Ghost Rider tattoo all on his back.
You know, that's the direct-to-DVD Point Break that I will buy in a split second.
Oh, my God. That would have been awesome. Speaking of things that sound better that should just be left alone... How did you feel about the opening ancient, quote, proverb, unquote?
Okay, so that's... I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so damn sick of these movies these days that, like, I really think... I mean, I don't know. There's probably an infinite amount of ancient proverbs. But it's very, very ironic that these ancient proverbs somehow fit so well into these shitty movie plots. Because this one was like, it was like, what was it?
In one sky, there is only one man.
Yeah, I mean, just something like that. I mean, you could...
It was some, yeah.
You could just think of bullshit like that where it's like, he who flies close to the sun better not try to rob banks tomorrow in downtown LA. Because there's going to be a cop with two meatball sandwiches around the corner.
I think that was Confucius.
Oh, that was Confucius. But I mean, like, that's what I'm saying is, like, okay, Dan, give me a couple of movies where, like, okay, you give me a movie, and then I will give you an ancient proverb that I think will fit that movie trailer that's going to come out.
All right, well, speaking of your boy Chris Pratt, how about Jurassic World?
All right. Here we go. He who does not learn from his first mistake will not learn from his last. Right? Pretty good, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Movie trailer.
Solid. Okay. Solid. And then, see? And then the doors open and you hear the Jurassic World theme. Okay, I got one. How about this? Avengers.
All right. Well, what was different about this? Okay. Here we go. Ultron. We'll do this. We'll do Ultron. Okay. Ultron.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
One who does not live does not die. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, see, like, I mean, it fits. You can make an ancient proverb for any movie that comes out.
The Katy Perry biography.
Don't do it.
Fair enough.
Something like that.
Fair enough.
It would work.
I mean, I want to believe that it's an actual ancient proverb, but don't list it as ancient proverb. Just put it. Just put the words on the screen for me. I don't need to see that it's an ancient proverb.
Quoted by ancient proverb.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing. The people don't even know how to, like, APA quote it right, or like MLA quote it right.
Site. It would pop up on Turnitin.com for plagiarism.
You're plagiarizing that shit. You know that some Asian guy is going, that's my proverb. I only tell it to my family. You dumb pieces of shit.
That's like if you get a fortune, like you say, oh, look at my fortune, and you cite the fortune cookie. It doesn't work. Okay. I think
it's a good time for a break.
Yeah, I think it's about that time. You know, Brett, in celebration of us becoming pretty official now...
We are official.
...with Podbean and our 15th episode, I feel like I need a wardrobe upgrade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm, you know, as, like, the host of the show, I need to come in more styling.
I didn't want to say anything, Dan, but you have been wearing just t-shirts that look a little loose-fitted and,
Yeah, I mean, if you know, we heard Brian last time really critiqued my wardrobe, but I think I'm going to consult with some friends over at B Rose. They are a local fashion consultant, styling company. They do everything, photo shoots, they're a fashion blog, all the advice I need to go to.
If I needed an outfit and then I needed to take a picture and look good in my new outfit.
One-stop shop.
There we are.
I think I'm going to head over to justaskb.net. Maybe check out their Instagram at justaskb. And really see what they can offer me and what they're looking for to help me. You know, maybe after we should get a photo shoot from them.
Woo!
Some good publicity, some good photos for the website.
Can I wear capris?
You know what? We'll talk about that. But
that's why I should talk to B.
Yeah, that's justaskb. You can find that at justaskb.net. Or their Instagram at JustAskB, or on Facebook /JustAskB and the number 7. Right, Brian's gone this week, so that means you are safe to keep eating that pan dulce that you got from the Mexican bakery on the way home, because unfortunately there is no employed movie review this week.
Brian is in Costa Rica. He's probably watching more entertaining stuff on the streets than in any of our movie theaters.
So, Brett, you know, I have an idea. Now that we have this open space, this open segment on the show, for a segment I think which will be near and dear to our hearts. Yes. Some good old wrestling.
Ass whooping.
Cans of whoop-ass.
Oh, that's what it is. Damn it. I'm getting older. I'm getting older, Dan.
A little bit, sir. I didn't want to say anything, but you're getting a little bit up there. But this weekend, Elimination Chamber, sir.
Sunday night.
Sunday.
Pay-per-view.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a great, great slip. We have some good events going on that night, too, which I think are a breath of fresh air because there needs to be a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation after Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I mean,
or Payback. I'm sorry.
I mean, Payback wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
It was more enjoyable than I think we thought. But I mean, we're doing like an extra pay per view this month, which is kind of awesome.
Which I think is them going, yeah, we fucked up on that first one. Sorry,
oh, well, I think
that.
It's also like here, network, stay as committed as possible.
Yeah.
For your $9.90 a month. But yeah, if you did not know, WWE is only taking a 2-week break from a pay per view, which I don't even know if we call it pay per view anymore, but a special event. This Sunday is Elimination Chamber, which used to be held in February on the road to WrestleMania. They thought they were just going to put it at like SummerSlam, or they were going to put it into another pay-per-view.
Just as an actual event?
Where it would have like the number one contendership for SummerSlam.
Okay.
So like you didn't have Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania, like this overload.
It was like a midpoint of the latter half of the year where
yeah,
they could do it again.
To, like
the Royal Rumble
something
again.
Else. Yeah.
Okay.
But this time we have some interesting circumstances because you've got a vacated Intercontinental title because of unfortunate circumstances with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he's actually injured. So first I thought it was an actual storyline and I just like creeped. But first I thought it was an actual storyline and then legitimately he's hurt.
I thought it started as... Oh, they just didn't want him on the live events on the European tour. And then it was like, oh, you know, he still had some speaking points. But then he was off the air for like a month. That's always bad news. Because he's got some injuries. I don't know if this was concussion-like symptoms like the last time. Or if it was more having to do with his arm strength and his neck. But it looks like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future, which is always sad news. But he will be a coach on the new Tough Enough show.
Which will be a great show, I think.
Yeah, I think how they're doing it, real quick, is they're doing it more like how America's Got Talent and how, like, American Idol is done, where it's not a whole, like, taped reality show and Stone Cold's making the decisions. Chris Jericho's hosting, but he's not, like, making all the decisions. He's legitimately hosting a reality show. There are judges and there are coaches. And people will vote from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
So completely different.
Breaking the walls down.
Yes. As Jericho's known, you son of a bitch. Nice reference.
Oh, you didn't catch
you get a
that.
Point
you
for
didn't
that
catch
reference.
That in the first half second.
You get a point
it,
for
yeah.
that reference.
Yes.
But moving forward, we do have an interesting match, which will be the one of two Elimination Chamber matches of the night, and that will be for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. I think that is going to be... That's probably going to be one of the meteor events of the night.
Yeah, definitely.
You've got Ziggler. Sheamus.
Mr. Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, who just made out with Lana, by the way.
Like three times now.
Saw that. Oh, so they're...
Oh, yeah, she's spying Rusev a lot just to make out with Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. From what I heard, too, rumor has it they're going to scrap that Russian thing entirely. And they're going to give they're going to give Lana a new manager role, and they're going to give Rusev a new... bit or whatever.
Really?
Don't know how long that's going to take, but that's the rumor. That's the rumor. But, so you've got Ziggler, Sheamus, who came back as a heel. You got Bad News Barrett. You have Rusev that was in there, and then I just heard recently that actually he's injured, and now they put in Bray Wyatt. So, that might be a little bit of a different thing.
Breaking news.
Yep. You also have...
This is really heel heavy.
It's extremely heel heavy.
Because I think the last person you haven't named is R-Truth, and we all know he's not going to win.
He's going to come out rapping his song. No one's going to hear it because the fanfare is too not into what he's saying, so they're screaming for somebody else.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
Ryback.
Oh, yeah, Ryback's in. Okay.
And
so,
Ryback's coming.
Okay, so it looks to be 3-3, but... I mean, really 3-on-2 for the heels versus the faces. And, I mean, I don't know who you'd go with in this match.
I'd say predictions for me, I'm guessing, because Rusev was the late replacement and he's had such a push on the USA belt, I don't think that Bray Wyatt's going to come in and take that at all. I actually think Ziggler's going to get the push. I think Ziggler's going to take that.
You think they're going to over... Well, maybe it could change now because of maybe a potential Rusev injury. Because you always look at Rusev and Ziggler in there, and they're having this ongoing feud outside of just normal build-up with Lana.
Mm-hmm.
So that was either built to continue beyond Elimination Chamber or culminate within the chamber, as those would be the last two standing. So now, without Rusev, Do they go back to Sheamus versus Ziggler? Because that's been a pretty good three pay-per-view feud by now.
But I feel like that is such a piss-poor Raw era feud where kiss my ass. So good, I know they're a great thing, but kiss my arse is just so stupid.
Hey, but at least you know Ziggler had to kiss Sheamus's arse, and now he's kissing Lana.
Yeah, I mean there was one point where I was actually watching the pay per view, and the referee was leaning through the ropes, screaming at Sheamus, saying you have to kiss his ass, and I'm like, this is what wrestling has kind of gotten to right now.
It's grown men. Yeah,
I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm...
All right, well, I don't think Barrett's going to win it because he was just crowned King of the Ring.
Yeah, who do you think's going to take it?
You know what? It wouldn't be bad if the new Eater of Worlds...
Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt, if he's in it, claimed it. But you know what? He's not a bad entry either because him and Ryback have also have this feud that's been going on. And their matches have been excellent together. They've been going at it like that's the main event.
They're great physical matches, but Ryback cannot work a mic like Bray Wyatt. And I think Bray Wyatt is one of the best mic workers in the WWE right now.
Oh, yeah, very true.
Yeah, and I think that's where you see this real gap in that feud where you're like, okay, can we just get somebody else that can get on a mic just as well as this guy?
But I think you don't need to. I think you just keep Ryback simple and you let Bray do all the talking.
Yeah.
I mean, Bray carried a feud by himself all the way to WrestleMania.
Yes.
All right. Winners for the Intercontinental Elimination Chamber, go.
Ziggler.
I'm going to go Wyatt.
Oh, okay.
Wyatt/Rusev.
Okay. So there's a couple other ones, too. We'll do quick predictions on this because I don't think... I mean, there's a couple that...
Let's hit honestly, the Divas match over...
We'll go D-list right now. I don't give a shit about these. Diva list, Nikki Bella, Paige, and Naomi. Who do you think
I think Nikki Bella retains. I think this feud's going to keep on going. Because that's kind of like all they have right now in the Divas division until they bring some of the talent up from NXT like Sasha Banks, Charlotte, or Bayley. So I think they can't have a change. I think they keep it Nikki Bella, Paige, and Naomi.
I can see Paige taking this over because she's had a push in the last couple months.
And she's been gone on injury.
Yeah, and I could see that happening. The one fear that I have with that and storyline is Nikki Bella is going to be completely out of the mix. And they don't know what to do with her. I mean, it's basically like dumping her in the trash can and saying, like, we're done with this.
Yeah, have no place in this storyline. Popular. They just don't have a storyline to go with unless they're champions.
Exactly.
So I get you.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, not so much of a D-list, though. We do have Neville and Bo Dallas.
Yeah, this is my pick to steal the show. I think this is the rivalry Bo Dallas has been waiting for to really kick his career off. It's a rematch of one of the longest-standing NXT champions and the man he took the title from.
Yeah.
And I think Bo Dallas, as the over-excited... dirty heel is going to really pay off in this match. And, I mean, Neville makes anybody look good and makes any match fun. So, if they get enough time on this card, I think they are going to excel and steal the show.
Who do you think will take it?
Oh, Adrian Neville.
Okay. Just the push that he's getting.
I think it's part of the push, but I could also see Bo Dallas. It could be a roll-up win, and Bo Dallas attacks him at the end, and not necessarily like a beat-down finish.
For what I think Neville's going to take it. I think Neville will take it. What I think Neville taking it is going to do is it's going to push another person that we want to talk about too for kind of a match that they're going to be going in. They're actually a part of it. Cena and Owens. I think Neville winning that match is going to somewhat bring up the card for the NXT people that are already in WWE, and it's going to create a push. I think Cena versus Owens, I think Cena's probably still going to take it, but I think what is going to happen now is you got a lot of good talent from NXT in the WWE roster now.
Yeah, and I mean, with already established characters, which is great. And I mean, before I give you my prediction on Cena Owens, I really hope they keep that Neville Dallas feud going past this. Keep it for a couple of months. It's interesting. It's good mid-card stuff.
Do you think Neville's somebody to push up past the mid-card, though?
Not this soon.
Okay.
But
okay.
Definitely in the future. But when it gets to somebody who's ready to jump from NXT straight to the main event, that is Kevin Owens.
Yep.
He is relentless, ridiculous, and so strangely entertaining.
He reminds me of a Bray Wyatt almost, because he's not the traditional build that you would see of a wrestler, and that creates a character that then comes out in his wrestling style, which makes that wrestling style much more entertaining than any wrestling style I see traditionally.
And I mean, I like his gimmick. His character is just, he's doing it to provide for his family, so any means necessary, I don't care who you are, I'm just going to beat the living hell out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially his quote this past week on SmackDown to Michael Cole was, John Cena should look at what I did to Sami Zayn, and he was arguably my best friend. What am I going to do to you? And it's just that source of just confidence and cockiness and swagger that I think is going to be very, very good, because John Cena has not had a bad match all of 2015.
Yeah.
And people can hate on Cena, but he has literally gone out every pay-per-view, even since he's won the U.S. Championship, every week. And you could arguably say had the match of the week almost every night on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of that, I think this feud may not last past Elimination Chamber, but I think Cena wins via disqualification.
Nice, nice.
What about you?
I think Cena's going to win. Clean?
Super Cena?
I think Cena will win clean. I think it'll be after a lot of Kevin Owens' destruction.
Okay.
But I think Cena will end up winning it clean and then come back. I think Kevin Owens will not go quietly, though, into the night. I'm excited to see what he does to WWE.
I will tell you, I will go insane if I get another Samoa Joe appearance.
That's
because his appearance on NXT to save William Regal and Sami Zayn last week at TakeOver, and if you haven't seen it, you should, was perfect. And he looks to be, like you were talking about, that not wrestler build that is the perfect opposite for Kevin Owens. So any inclusion of NXT storylines is smart, but they've got to keep it at a minimal to keep the product separate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the final match, I think, too, we're not even going to talk about the Tag Team Elimination Chamber. I'm sorry.
New Day wins. Day wins. I don't care if it's not cleanly, but New Day wins. It's going to happen. They're super over right now. They're actually really kind of entertaining, and their matches have gone better, and they should keep it. No other team other than Tyson Kidd and Cesaro deserve to win.
Yeah. Seeing tag teams in an Elimination Chamber cell is going to remind me of a gay porn in a shower scene. I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about seeing.
That's a visual I don't think any of our listeners needed.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just going to be two sweaty guys in a cell, like, that's fogged up.
You mean in the pods. Okay.
That's what I'm saying, in the pods. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is in the pods, it's going to look like something that I don't want to see. I'm not looking forward to seeing. I don't give a shit who wins, but New Day, I think, has got the push too on that. The last match, though, which is very interesting, Rollins versus Ambrose. Dan, what do you think is going to happen on that one?
Rollins wins.
Rollins wins? Clean?
Clean-ish.
Okay.
Which is very his style.
Authority? No authority.
Authority for sure.
Okay.
But look for some interaction from Roman Reigns.
That's what I was just going to say.
And there is whispers of a heel turn for Roman. But I don't necessarily see that. Because I think Roman's character right now, I think, is super over from WrestleMania. Where on Monday, he came down to kind of defend Dean Ambrose when Dean Ambrose wasn't there. And he's getting beat. And when Dean Ambrose shows up in the paddy wagon, you have laying down after getting his ass kicked, bleeding from the mouth like always, Roman Reigns, just laughing.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Like, it's just like they're buddies, and I think that's cool. I think a good rivalry between them, like we saw at the Payback with the Fatal 4-Way, could be good. Because, I mean, you could ride this dynamic of Reigns, Ambrose, and Rollins for years.
Yeah.
And I think what you can't have is have Ambrose kind of one-off it with Rollins and go back to the mid-card. He's got to stay up because he's so over right now. He's the most over guy that he could actually take the spotlight away from Roman Reigns. Kind of like what you have this Stone Cold dynamic with The Rock.
Yeah.
Where you know, the company really wants one guy and the fans really want the other guy and they're both super over.
Can you potentially see a double turn?
No, I think that Ambrose's character to go heel doesn't make sense because heel means like going authority.
And that doesn't fit with that character.
Not at all. He's the opposite of that. See, but he's not true face. He's always going to, you know, look for his advantage. So he's kind of that anti-hero role, which fits perfectly. Because you can take the shield, you have an anti-hero, you have a heel, and you have a face.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the perfect way that that dive shook out. Like, if you look at it, you can kind of say Seth Rollins is Triple H, which that's how they're kind of breeding him now that he's using the pedigree. And you have Roman Reigns, who could be The Rock, after the People's Champion was accepted and went face, kind of like in the absence of Stone Cold. And then you have Dean Ambrose as that Stone Cold character. And I think you have to keep the story writing, you have to keep the finishes at that level of intrigue with these three characters so that they're successful for the long run and not just for a short built pay-per-view.
Okay. So a Rollins, it'll be a Rollins victory, but it will not be clean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because the other thing is you can't give Ambrose his first title run and then it be short-lived because you want Rollins to face Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing is Brock Lesnar's coming SummerSlam. Everybody knows that. And Rollins is going to be the one to face him unless somehow Reigns gets into the midst. So you can't shorten somebody's first title run.
Yeah.
If Dean Ambrose had already won the heavyweight championship, I'd say sure he has a better chance because then he could always just drop it again. But yeah, no. Rollins all the way.
I see exactly where you're going that with the Rollins versus Lesnar in the eventual future. And I think what's gonna happen with that too, which has been rumored too, is a Rollins facing Triple H to fight that entity to defend WWE against this mercenary Brock Lesnar that just comes in and takes the title or whatever. So there might actually be kind of not an authority turn to a face, but basically, hey, we're done. We're sick and tired of this guy. We're uniting as a front too, defending our company now as businessmen doing this thing.
Which would be awesome. And you know what? If they kind of hand the pedigree down to Seth Rollins, I think Triple H shouldn't wrestle anymore at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if that's what it's looking like, you took away the curb stomp, so he's used the pedigree. I don't know if that's going to become his finisher from now on, but if that's the move, then you can't have Triple H do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he can't wrestle.
Yeah. Or have a, as dumb as this sounds, like a pedigree match. Or, like, you know, like, the first person that gets pedigreed wins the title and then, you know, gets the chance to fight Brock Lesnar for the WWE. I can potentially see that happening, too.
But, yeah, but I know there's talks of The Rock trying to face either Brock Lesnar or Triple H next year.
Yeah.
So that may not be possible. But I really hope that they really figure out a finisher for Seth Rollins soon. Because he needs it.
It's so bad.
I like the pedigree. The pedigree works.
But
it's not Seth Rollins.
And he's really thin and he picks people up in not the proper way that Triple H does to do the pedigree.
The curb stomp was so perfect.
Yeah. Because it was a mousy wrestler with almost a cheap move.
It worked
worked really, really well. And I think you put it's almost like a leg drop. It's like a Hogan leg drop that you put on somebody that has no build to do a leg drop. And you're like, this just doesn't look right. This just does not look right.
Yeah, the curb stomp was his RKO.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. It was something that was quick, that was impactful, that you knew was done.
Actually, it was more of like the punt that they've eliminated too.
But I mean, even the punt, like, he built up.
Yeah.
Like,
right? Yeah, built that's up. True.
The best, I think the best, one of the things that a heel needs is a sneaky, out of nowhere, sneaky finisher where he can catch you when you're not looking, pin you, and be out.
Yep. That's
exactly what Rollins needs. And I mean, a high flying finisher, it looks awesome. And when he needs to pull it out with that Phoenix Splash is cool. But I think they really need to find something that's quick and out of it. And the pedigree is just quick enough that it works. It's borderline, but it's just quick enough that it works.
Yeah.
But I don't think Ambrose gets hit with a pedigree cleanly.
What you were hinting at earlier, though, is I think that'll probably happen, though. What I'm banking on this weekend is I think Rollins and Ambrose are going to have an incredible match. there's going to be highs and lows for both sides. Once they become even or whatever, or once you see Ambrose get an edge, that's when Roman Reigns is going to come in. You think Roman Reigns is going to defend Ambrose. He's going to stare at all of them. It'll be like a Mexican triangle. And then he's going to tank Ambrose, give Seth Rollins a thing. I don't know if he's going to be, if he's going to become the authority, part of the authority. I highly doubt that, actually. But I think this is going to be the first turn you see for Roman Reigns.
Well, I think you could also, you could get the, oh, Roman comes out to make the save, accidentally Superman punches or spears Dean Ambrose, and then ruins gets thrown out the ring. Seth Rollins pins Ambrose off of Reigns' move, and then Ambrose and Reigns feud over a number one contendership, like the right to face Rollins at Money in the Bank.
Like the hero and the anti-hero.
Kind of like, it's fighting for the number one spot, not necessarily fighting against each other.
Like, do we want Stark or do we want Captain America?
Basically.
Yeah, I totally get you on that. Which would totally make sense. I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, it should be a good weekend. I mean, that event, it's a treat. It's special. There's a couple NHL Game 7s this weekend.
Coming on?
Yeah, tomorrow, unless you're listening to this today, which is Friday, or if you're listening to this in the past, it was Friday the 29th, is the Lightning versus the Rangers Game 7, in which the Rangers are undefeated at Madison Square Garden in Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Ooh.
And the other one is the Chicago Blackhawks at the Mighty Ducks. Game 7, in which the Ducks have lost 2 years in a row Game 7s on home ice. Which doesn't really give me confidence, so I'm trying not to think about it as much.
Yeah, we're not going to even talk about
that. No, you know what we are going to talk about in next week's episode?
Ooh, yeah, let's tease it.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Because we've all seen it.
Yes.
And we're waiting for Brian to review it.
Yes.
That's the big thing.
Yes, we need our resident critic here to lead us in a review, and really, I think we're going to break down this movie because it was super unique. It was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, go see it before next week's episode, or we are going to spoil the crap out of it for you, probably.
Because it's that good.
Yeah. And it was a good 2 hours of just nonstop action. Really good drama without a lot of words, and not a lot of dialogue, and it was super entertaining.
And then we're also going to tease, I think Brian and I picked up a video game over the week or whatever.
Yeah, what are you guys playing?
We're playing The Witcher 3, and we're going to give some quick impressions on that next week. The thing is glitchy as shit right now.
Witcher 3, what is that?
It's a fantasy, I'd say like a role-playing game little bit, released on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC just last week. We've been playing it for about a week now. One download patch already came out the day it got released.
That's never a good thing.
Not a good sign. So we're going to talk about that next week. It'll be very, very great.
Awesome.
And actually, that's what we wanted to end this episode with is I actually lost somebody this week, or actually today, and I wanted to give a shout out to my Uncle Clyde. My Uncle Clyde was probably one of the strongest guys that I've ever met in my life. He was a World War II vet and probably one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. He passed away at 97 today, and I love him and I'm going to miss him. And yeah, I just wanted to give a little shout out to Uncle Clyde and to Randy back in Iowa. Hope you're doing well and everything's going to be okay, buddy. We're all in this together. So here's to you, Uncle Clyde.